Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, good. We're good to go when you are, Tim.
Okay, cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast dealing with all of life's problems. Though I must remind you, I'm not trained at therapy or medicine, so if you are taking advice off of me, you'll take advice off a TV presenter, TV Tim. Mark is here to keep me in check. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Tim. Hello, everybody.
Before we get stuck into you and your greasy coffee diet, I've just had a tweet in, and I think I should answer it straight away. This comes from Steph.
Is this hot off the Twitter press?
This is literally just arrived. Steph says, now I've been given the choice to apply either for First Dates or Data Farmer TV show. Help.
Data what a who?
Data Farmer TV show.
What's that?
I don't know. Well, I'm guessing, Mark.
But don't talk down to me, Tim.
Guessing.
A minute into the podcast.
I'm guessing you get the chance to date a farmer. Steph.
Is it Big Farmer or is it, PH Farmer or is it?
Well, it's a farmer. Someone who works on a farm, I imagine, or owns a farm. I reckon, Steph, farming's hard work. However, I reckon if you like farming, I think it must be one of the most rewarding jobs. It's up there with medicine.
Medicine, because you've got so much, so much experience.
Can you imagine
these fields,
every year you sow a crop or whatever you do, you sow a crop and then you watch it develop and you harvest it. And then I know times are hard for farmers. They always seem to be, but it must be that beautiful thing of watching nature grow. You know, you've got your hours.
You have such a lovely romantic idea of life, haven't you?
Do you know what? I think it's really hard work, but I imagine. No, I just think life is
it's not all about John Lydon sitting in your kitchen going, "Oh, buttery crumpets, love."
I really think life is about nature and getting back to nature. Steph, I'd go for the farming one. Give that a go. See how that goes. Can you imagine doing that? If you're a dairy farmer, seeing those cows, then you have to. Do you have to...
Candlelit dinner in the abattoir.
Yeah, that's the only problem is having to get... But then it's part of life's... But part of life cycle, isn't it? That's what it is. It's there's that new film. Have you heard about it? It's going to turn us all vegetarians. Is it called Okja? I might have just
made Okja, yes. It's a new Netflix thing that's come out in the cinema.
Have you heard about
it? Yes, it's... I have.
It's like a big pig.
Mark Kermode liked it.
Did he?
Yes.
There's a big pig that they're breeding for...
There's another one as well you should watch if you're thinking of becoming vegan. It's called Simon Amstel and it's called Carnage. And it's on iPlayer.
Yeah.
He made it, you know, for BBC.
Yeah, see, where these both have... I don't want to talk down to, you know, Simon Amstel or who's the filmmaker who made the Okja thing, but they've both got it slightly wrong.
What? Because meat's so tasty.
No, there is that, but... I think we're more likely to man-made protein. I think that is the future. I did a little documentary on it once. Do you remember the guys who did the sort of £100,000 burger or something?
Oh, yeah, man-made burger.
Yeah, made in the lab. Well, I went to meet him, and I did it via Skype, if I'm honest with you. And we did a chat. And the reason why they were making this burger was not because... for financial reasons. They were doing it for animal welfare reasons.
Right.
They really believe that in the future we'd think it was quite a strange thing to do, murder animals for us to eat. Even though I must point out that every single animal spends every single waking hour of its life either trying to eat something or be eaten. It's kind of nature, getting back to that farming thing
again. I
always
wonder what vegans feed their cats.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure you can probably get vegan food these days. I'm not sure. But anyway, getting back to that point, and I think what's going to happen in the future is we're going to just be manufacturing our own protein so we don't have to slaughter animals. And I think that is where it's all going to go. And I think people aren't going to give up meat. It's just going to be man-made. Anyway, let's move on. How is the greasy coffee diet going?
It's good.
I think, by the way, Steph, go for the farmer one. Go for that. It sounds more fun. How's the greasy coffee?
Very good, thank you. Yeah.
Have you lost a lot of weight?
I have.
How are you feeling?
Very, very good. Sprightly.
What have you noticed? What's
Wave-like.
Different? What's what's different about your life?
I can get into all my old suits now.
Oh.
I'm on my clothes. All my old clothes.
Oh, have you gone through any of the pockets and found something interesting?
No money.
Damn.
No money.
Is that best? It's the best feeling ever. Yeah. When you do that, you go through a pocket or something and find money.
The last time I'd worn this particular suit that now fits me, I'd gone out with it with all the dry cleaning labels still on it. You know, that, you know, when you go to a wedding and someone's still got that little pink label.
Well, I think the reason why you find money in jackets and stuff is when you're wearing a suit.
You normally get quite drunk, don't you?
Yeah, when people like us are wearing suits because we don't have proper jobs. Like, most people have proper jobs. They wear a suit to work, but us, people like us, don't do it. Apart from farmers, they don't. So it's going well?
Yes, yeah. Thank you, yes.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Are you still not eating breakfast every day?
No, it's just, it's the greasy coffee. It's the butter and coffee. And then it's two meals a day.
How many cheat days do you have in a week?
One.
Okay.
Apart from last week, which was horrific.
What do you do on the cheat day?
I just have a few beers.
Oh, it's only beer? Not,
oh, yeah.
Not burgers and chips and
well,
stuff.
I have burgers. I have burgers anyway.
Okay.
Tim, I've got something for you here.
Okay, what's that?
Now, I've been going through the stats of our podcast.
Oh, and, brilliant.
Numbers, you know, as interesting as numbers can be to some people, they're fine.
Yeah.
What I've got here is something a little bit more interesting.
What's that?
In my hand, this bit of paper. This is the list of countries where we've had listens.
Ooh.
Where people are listening and subscribing in.
Okay.
Okay? It's quite interesting.
Go on.
Now, obviously, like the binge drinking chart, UK are at the top.
All right.
Okay. You know.
Yeah.
But interesting, it would be interesting to, you'll hear who else listens to
go
us.
Go on then.
Right, so number two, Ireland. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Australia, United States, Spain, Canada, Germany, Thailand, France, and United Arab Emirates in the top 10.
Wow.
Now, we are global now, Tim.
You've
started something that we cannot stop.
That is interesting, isn't it, people? What other countries have you got there?
Well, I mean, just think of a country. Ask me. I mean,
go on.
Nepal?
Really?
Who's Norway?
Yeah, I can imagine. I've got lots of friends in Norway, yeah. Hello, Norway.
The plurinational state of Bolivia.
Wow.
If you're listening in Nepal, the plurinational state of Bolivia or Saudi Arabia, please let us know who you are.
Let's have a look at that list.
Fantastic to find out. Anyway, have a look at that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, if you are listening to us anywhere in the world, which isn't Britain or Ireland, let us know where you are. Romania.
Yep.
Russian Federation. Mexico. Is that racist, me doing that?
No, that's probably how you pronounce it, isn't it? Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know if that's racist or not, though.
Not everything is it now.
No, it is. It's really hard. It's really hard to know what you can do. Because you can pronounce French words in a French way, but you can't pronounce other words. I'm not even going to go into it because it feels racist. But if you go to other continents...
Did you notice we've got some listeners in India, Tim? I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to pronounce words in certain parts of the world. Vietnam. And it is... Vietnam. We've got listeners in Vietnam.
See?
Let us know if you are listening in those countries. Right, I've had this email in from Adrian. Who says, so, where is this week's podcast? You only have one job to do and you let me down. If something very unfortunate or disastrous has happened to you, I apologise for this email. I'm really sorry, we've been a bit flaky recently. We've had a few issues. Let's not go into them, but we have. So that's generally why we haven't been doing it. I apologise. We'll try and get it every Monday from now on. Summer gets harder as well because of holidays and work schedules and things, and both of us have had a bit of work on. Right. Anyway, he says, can I have a medal, please? As I played the Whitney Music Festival on Saturday, I wrote both songs. I sang one and my stepdaughter sang the other. More important than that, I started playing guitar in August last year, just after my 60th birthday, and already performing at the festival. It's never too late to have a go. Adrian, that's brilliant.
Well done.
There's your inspirational email for the week, listeners. If Adrian can do it, he's actually performed on stage his own original song.
I think a couple of things from that.
One.
I mean,
that
should give you a bit of a boot up the backside to get your guitar playing back on.
No, because I don't think I want to do it. Anyway, go on.
Right, two.
Yeah.
If he's got any recordings, send them. We'll have a listen.
Oh, yeah. Do that, Adrian. Definitely. We'll play it. You just got to sign over the rights to us. No, I think it'd be fine. Just send it to us so we can have a little listen to it. So that's a bucket list thing, isn't it, I suppose? That's what people do. Well, I had Esther Ranson on my show this week, and she talked about an unbucket list.
Oh, the things that you
Things that you've done once.
No, that's the chuck it list, wasn't it?
No, I think the unbucket list is things you've done once and you don't want to do again.
You're right. The chuck it list was stuff that you've decided you're never going to do.
Right, okay. Well, I've got on my unbucket list, I've got whale watching because that is... It is appalling. It's so boring. And I've got theme parks. Whale watching. When you go there, I was in Norway and... I was in Iceland. And there's a picture and it's got the whale. What do they call it? Breaching. Is that what they call it?
Possibly.
When the whales come out of the water and they go up... and they splash down. It looks amazing. You think, I'm in Iceland. I might not be back here for... I've got to do this. I've got to spend... 50, 60 quid or whatever it is, I'm going to see this. And basically, I watched water for 2 hours. It hurt my eyes. It was so boring because nothing happened. And then we did see some little baby whales. Are they beluga? Is that, am I making
that
up? No,
that's fish. That's fish eggs.
Sort of, it's something beginning with a B.
Beluga is sturgeon eggs, isn't it?
Whale. B.
Bloke looks thing up on internet.
Oh no, that's not going to do it, is it? It's gone to New South Wales. It's some sort of whale. Are you sure it's not?
I don't know. I might be wrong. I've never been whale watching. So is it on the list?
Yeah,
with...
beluga whale.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Sorry.
So there's a beluga whale, right? And they're smaller ones. And she goes, look, there they are. Oh no, you've just missed them. They've gone down to feed. They can stay under the water for 15 minutes.
So whale watching is going on the list with axe throwing. Done once, fine, done.
I'd do axe throwing again though, because I quite enjoyed that, but it's not something I really want to do. But I would do it again if I was in the right vicinity of the place. Right, should we get on with the problems? This one's from Glenn, and he says, how do I get over my ex-wife?
Start on the light stuff there, Tim.
Yeah, this is not easy, this. How do I get over my ex-wife? Though, you know what? The more I read, the more I realise that we're... what happens with your exes is they stay in your head, I think. And the more I read, the more I realise that we're just narrating our own life and trying to work out our own reality. And after speaking to Dr. Julia Shaw when she was on our show, we can actually change our memories. We can change everything. We're like a director directing our own movie in our head, I think. And I do believe, it's not easy to do this, by the way, but I do believe that you can narrate your own story and you can narrate your... The famous expression, the half glass empty, half full. Half glass, half empty, half full. Yeah, which way are you looking at it? And that
sounded like a drunk Buddhist proverb.
That is it in a nutshell there. You're right. Looking at your life and you're either going, hey, it's brilliant my ex-wife's gone because I can get with my life. Or you can go, it's a miserable time that my ex-wife's going. Now, I'm not one of these people who believes in all positive stuff. I don't believe in that. That look at everything positively. I do believe that you should look at everything...
realistically?
That's exactly right. If you look at everything realistically and go, okay, right, so I'm going to miss this bit and I'm going to miss that bit, but this bit's good. But the big thing is, it sounds like if you're missing your ex-wife, that you might want to bat, and it might be out of your control. If it's out of your control, there's nothing about you can do about it. So you have to narrate your own life to go, right, that bit's over. I'm talking cliches
Act
here.
Act two.
Yeah, that chapter's over. I need to move on. And you need to narrate your own story now about you and your life and how you move on from here. Some people use religion for it because we're both looking at this kitchen and we've both got completely different views of this kitchen, Mark and myself. That's where we record the podcast, by the way. And so we have to make our own mind up about reality. And I think this is an interesting thing.
You're facing a really handsome man.
Oh, yeah,
man,
that's it.
And no, I'm just I do think you're facing a bloke.
I do think you're better looking than you think you are.
Thanks, Tim.
I do think that, I think, probably. Because, I know. And I definitely think I'm better looking than you think I am. Oh, no. It's not true. I used to be up there, I used to be up there. I used to be in the high. I've slipped. Recent years. Age is not kind, is it? Though my personality's grown.
Hang on. Give me that straw back you're clutching. Come on.
All we're doing, right, is going through life. Trying to work out reality, what the hell's going on? Look at politics. That's a really good one at the moment.
Oh.
Because I won't get involved in politics, but you've got so many say on the, let's just use cliches again, left or right, and they can't see each other's realities. And they're just stuck in their own sort of world of how they believe that it exists. And as I say, people use religion because religion makes up the reality for you. So
it has some easy to read, easy to swallow answers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it tells you what's going on, whereas we're all sitting around going, I haven't been brought up with religion, so I don't understand that concept. My parents weren't religious and I wasn't christened or anything else, so I basically have gone through life going, what's going on out here, and I'm sort of trying to sort it all out myself. I blame them actually for some of my mental issues. You've got this inner monologue going on, and as I say, it used to be about you and your wife. It's now about you. You just got to realise that and try and change some of the memories. Because when those memories come in, how did Dr. Julia Shaw say you change the memories? You just do it, don't you? You just start thinking about something else. You associate it with not being brilliant.
Yeah, well, maybe use that technique I use at funerals so I don't cry, which is remember the bad stuff.
Yeah. Actually, that's not such a bad idea. List the bad stuff as well as the good stuff. I read in a book once, I don't know how, I can't remember which book, I've read so many books.
Look at you showing off.
Self-help book, sadly. but I've read, I can't remember which one it is, but you've got to pass your partner on, make a list for the new, I'm going to use this word, but it's not the word they use, but it's like you're passing on a, no, I'm not going to use the word.
You're going to go car, weren't you?
What? I was gonna, because I couldn't think of another word. Their new partner. I was gonna say. I'm not gonna even say what word I was gonna
Jesus,
use.
Jesus, what was it? Mouth it.
I'm not doing it because people think I'm doing it. But you're new. You're like writing a list of stuff for them and going to their new partner and going, look, here you go. Here's. It sounds horrific, doesn't it? This book. But basically you write down the list and go, look, this is what you're going to get when you're going out with this person. You write it down and you sort of move them on and pass them on that way. Anyway, look, good luck with it, because it's not easy, is it? Because it's a huge part of your life. And I think you've got to remember as well, is that losing a partner, not death-wise, just splitting up, is like trauma in your life as well. So you have to understand, you have to go through...
Grief, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to go through a grieving process.
It's almost, you know... Where grief is, you lose someone, you never hear them again. You split up with someone, and then you just still see them on Facebook and Twitter.
Do you know what, Mark? Mark, that's why Mark's here.
That's to fill in the bits when you're not talking.
To actually put some decent advice your way. Get off social media. Just do yourself a favor and unfollow her from everything. Unfollow anyone who's connected with it, or do yourself a favor and just go, I'm having 6 months off and I'm just getting off Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Just get it out of your life, and then you don't have to worry about it and you don't have to see anything. You can get on with your life. That is so important, Mark. Otherwise you sit there and you're really, you know, you're having a good day and you're not thinking about your ex-wife, and then suddenly up pops a message with your, I don't know, one of your ex-wife's friends or one of your mutual friends or something, and there she is having the best time ever, looking hot. And you're going, God, I remember
pretending
her
to have the best time ever for the sake of social media.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe she is, maybe she isn't.
If everyone was as happy as they were on Facebook, this country would be amazing.
Yeah. Definitely.
But they're not.
No. I think social media is a real problem for that, isn't it? The FOMO thing that we've all got, the idea that we're missing out on stuff.
Oh.
Fear of missing out, FOMO. And it's like you're sitting there and every time you tune into social media, everybody else is having a better time than you. Do you know in the back of Sunday Colour supplements, they ask for good advice from celebrities sometimes.
Right.
You know, they say things I learn or life. Right. You know those sort of, you know those in the back of the Observer or the Times or something. Yeah. And they do the, you know, things I know about life. I read one once by Les Dennis, it is one of the best ones ever. So Les, if you're listening to this, I know you probably listen to our podcast. Les Dennis said, you never know, you might be at the right party. And I thought that's like Buddhist-esque. It was fantastic. You do never know. Sitting here talking to Mark might be one of the best jobs in the world. We just don't know. So when you're out at a party, you might be the best party, even though you could be envious of all the other parties. And never has that meant so much as when social media comes along. I thank you. Let's move on to our next one. This comes from Stephen, who said, should I stick a safe bet on Floyd to school Connor or go for the big risk? Reward, never going to happen bet of Connor knocking him out. And I'm talking about Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. fight, which is going to happen in the summer. Late summer, is it? I'm not actually sure.
I'm doing the international sign for I don't know, which is a giant shrug.
When is this going to happen? Should we look it up quickly? Let's see. Conor v. Mayweather. I know it's going to happen. £10 million fight. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? £10 million fight is going to happen 26th of August.
Right.
There you go. I've always found betting a bit weird. my advice to him is don't bet, and then you can enjoy the fight without any worries about the outcome. I don't really get the betting thing that much. I know it's becoming a big issue at the moment because I understand it's so addictive. But if you're into the sport, I don't really understand it. It's sort of, for me, it's always, it sort of ruins the enjoyment. Did you ever play fantasy football?
No.
Why?
There was always better stuff to do than, because you've got the already football.
Yeah.
And then you have to have another set of not real football. No, I've just...
Because I played it for 2 years, two seasons. And at the end of the second season, I thought, I don't like this. But I'm kind of looking at... I don't care about the football. I'm caring about the results of the football going the way that I want them to do to make my fantasy football thing work. And I sort of started supporting players and stuff that I didn't really want to support. And I don't know, I just started looking at football in a really strange way. So I gave it up after the second season and thought I'm not interested in that. And I just thought, and also I apologize if you do play a lot of fantasy football out there, but a lot of my mates, this doesn't obviously apply to you, listener, who plays fantasy football. A lot of my mates just became know-it-alls all the time. Oh, look, I got a load of points. And yeah, I predicted that. I know more than you. That was kind of, it sort of created that sort of atmosphere. And it, I don't know, it just seemed that everybody became a pundit overnight. Find me the football pundit who bet on Leicester City or who predicted Leicester City to win the league a couple of seasons ago, and then you'll find a proper football pundit. Because, I don't know, the longer I'm alive, the more I appreciate that Buddhist proverb, everyone knows nothing about everything. And that is a fact. No one knows anything
about... Is that a fact or a Buddhist proverb? Come on, you've got to make your mind up.
That's a Buddhist proverb. People don't know anything about anything. But back to betting, you might have watched the greatest sporting event of all time, and yet you're not enjoying it.
Because you've lost 50 quid.
Yeah.
Well, here's a way to think about it. This is the way I think about it. This might not help.
Mm-hmm.
Say England are playing Argentina.
Yeah.
Bet, and you're an English supporter. You
might bet on Argentina.
Bet on Argentina. So when England lose, you go, I got 20 quid. There you go.
Yeah, but I you'd be inclined to want Argentina to win.
No, you wouldn't. Don't bet enough for it to affect your... You know, just have a little bonus, that's nice, I got 20 quid.
Ah, see, that's not how I operate.
Why? Is it all or nothing, Tim? Are you all the chips on? All the money on red.
If I bet on Argentina, I want them to win because that's why I've bet on Argentina. So I want to win. And then I think you found it out there because my winning becomes more important than England football team winning.
Wow.
It's not a wow at all. It's like, it's life, isn't it? You care more about, no? You don't believe that? So you better, what are we talking about?
How great is it when England are doing well in a national
tournament? Oh, I love it, yeah.
Or Scotland or Wales, blimey. When they're doing well, it's great fun.
Everyone, that's why I don't bet on my team, because I can just sit there, watch it and take all the emotions.
But
why do you, there you go, right, sport. Why throw any more emotions into the equation?
It's like a little bonus at the end.
So you like betting?
No, I don't bet.
All right, okay.
I don't bet.
But so you're arguing with me?
Yeah, right, I'm arguing for a thing that, it doesn't matter.
So you're watching the boxing or you're watching the football, you're watching it, you've got a load of emotions going anyway because you're playing Argentina, and then you want to throw some more in there with the betting, and you're going, oh God, I don't know whether I want to win or lose now, because, you know, if Argentina win, I win money, but if, you know, you start throwing them, why? What's the point? Just enjoy the event. Anyway, I don't really bet. I used to bet on the horses a bit, but only on the big ones.
Grand National, Derby.
Yeah. But I don't even do that anymore because I can't be bothered. But can you imagine if you're really into horse racing and you bet against Red Rum and Red Rum wins and, you know, you're really into horse racing, you want to see Red Rum. Did he win it three times?
I don't know.
No, we don't. We're clueless. Do you like boxing?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Do you watch it?
Not really, because I, 20 quid and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, because it went pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Did you watch it back when it was Eubank Ben and all that?
I used to watch it, yeah, yeah. I used to stay up for those, you know, the Tyson, yeah. Bruno, all that kind of stuff.
I used to really quite like boxing. And then, and I still like it now. I like the hype and I like the story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Joshua.
I like UFC as well. I like the hype and I like the story and I like all that. And I really appreciate the skills. But actually watching the fight, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure I enjoy it anymore. And I tell you where it changed was I went to, is it the Staples Center in LA to watch the Klitschko-Lewis fight. And I was really lucky at the time. I managed to get tickets pretty near the front. Hey, it was cool. It was like a who's who there. It was amazing, the pre-match. Sylvester Stallone was there. Mr. T was there. It was like loads of people like that. I was like, wow, this is incredible.
Someone should mock up one of those pictures like they do on Twitter of you sat next to Barry Chuckle.
and then as they're fighting, there was like more and more blood hitting. And I was next to the corner of Klitschko. And they kept throwing down more, all these towels covered in sweat and blood. And it was like, ugh. It was really, I'm not squeamish, but it's just like, oh my God, they're actually hitting each other.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is people are hitting each other, yeah, in, I mean, the
if,
face.
If you had to, if you said you can sit down now and watch a real boxing match or Rocky IV, I'd go for Rocky IV every time.
But I look around at the crowd though. I was like, they were baying for blood. Yeah. And I, that really is kind of strange. But the skill level of these men is phenomenal.
Yeah.
One punch would kill you, as you know. But just
speak for yourself, that's it.
Yeah. But just watch it. It was like, all men listening to this are going to roll their eyes, but they're actually hitting each other in the face. It's like when you watch it on telly, it's not real. Suddenly you're there, you're going, oh, look at this. Do you remember Frank Bruno's face when he got knocked out by someone once and he sort of just went, he just sort of collapsed timber and his face was all, and he was like out. I was so horrible watching that. But anyway, I kind of like that. This is going to be brilliant. Mayweather, Conor McGregor, all the hype is going to be fantastic.
It's going to last about 2 minutes.
Who's going to win, Mark? Who are you going to put your money on?
I wouldn't put my money on it, but I would probably say if it's a boxing match, Mayweather.
Okay. If you remove yourself from both sides, though, and you don't put any money on it, and you don't pick a side, Stephen, then you can just sit and watch, I don't know, if you could just sit and watch both sides at it, like Mark just did. He picked a side, Mayweather, and I could go back at him with McGregor, but I can just sit there and just listen to it all instead. It's nice. You don't get wound up. You can just watch it, realize it's just a game, and just
Do you walk away from games that aren't, you're not enjoying? Say it's 70 minutes and Chelsea are losing 3-0. I know this has never happened ever, but would you go, I've got 20 minutes left where then they're out, they're not winning. Do you continue watching that last 20 minutes?
Do you know what? I'm trying to change everything in my life because no, but now I would like to think I would.
I really?
Now I'd like to...
Do you
to
think that's a better, you're a better person for watching that last 20 minutes,
no.
Do you?
No.
See, I think that last 20 minutes, you just, if you're not enjoying it, don't watch it.
Yeah. I would like to say I have more control over what I do.
Do you know what I do?
What?
So go for a, if that's a game that I think is over, I go for a cycle. So I go, well, I could sit and veg in front of something I'm not enjoying, or I could go and get some exercise.
But I'm like that with... I'm trying my hardest not to be competitive as well. I know I am. I am, because I keep reading that being competitive is not healthy. And so I've been playing a series of board games with my friends recently, and I've lost badly. And I've just gone really quiet. My friend Pete said to me the other day, why'd you go so quiet? I said, I'm trying my hardest not to get angry because I'm losing.
Does it really matter to you?
I'm trying to make it so it doesn't. And I'm trying to make anything that it doesn't matter.
Why do you think
me.
It matters to you so much?
I don't know. Because I lack self-esteem, Mark. is that the answer you were looking for?
Yes, thank you. Move on.
Look, I don't know.
I knew I'd break you.
I don't know, but I'm so competitive, and I have been all my life, and I don't think it makes me a happy person. I like the idea that I could get up at half time at Stamford Bridge and go, right, I'm going. Because I've always been taught that you have to stay to the final whistle. And I'd just like to go,
no, I'm going. You always preach, you don't have to do anything you don't want
exactly.
to.
Exactly. And I'd like to be able to go, no, I'm going. Or I don't want to go anyway. I want to do what I want to do because I'm in control of it. And I don't want any sort of stupid football laws to tell me that I have to stay. I'm going to do what I want to do. There you go. That's what it's...
it's been quite rambly today, isn't it?
Should we move on? Yeah. If you, I tell you what, if you want to send us a tweet, this is the Twitter address.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
At Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah, it's at Tim Lovejoy. Let's go on to the next one. This one comes from Lee. Any advice, stroke, jokes for best man speech? Do you know what? This came on Twitter as well. So I replied to him, be real and do it from the heart. Takes years to be a good stand-up comic. Like rappers say, you need to keep it real. Generally, Mark, you write comedy. Right. That's what you do for a living.
I've never done a best man speech. No one's ever asked me.
Would you, if you were doing a best man speech, do you think you could deliver a comedy speech?
No, I don't think I want to. That's like a busman's holiday, isn't it? For me, no, just something nice, as you say, be nice.
I
don't
think...
like all that. I'm not a fan of all that cringy, embarrassing. There was that time when he was, you know, chained to a lamppost, blah blah.
I think it's really hard to be a good stand-up comic. I think it takes years and years. So suddenly you're a guy who works as a teacher, photocopy salesman, and suddenly you've been given the task of being a best man, and then all your mates go, oh, have you got some funny lines? And you sit around and then you're looking them up online and all that. And I just don't think it works. I just think do it from the heart. Be honest.
And compliment the bride's parents.
I just think say really lovely things, as Mark said there. A couple of really nice true stories. Just, I tell you what, don't invent stuff as well. Just keep it true. keep the crowd amused. Don't write a stupid stand-up routine. I've been at weddings when the PowerPoint stuff comes out. And you're like,
hello. Any guitars? Has anyone brought a guitar out?
Here's a picture. Oh, yeah, that's me, really. No, I've never done that. Have you been to one of those?
No.
Have you ever been to one where they just absolutely take the groom apart with, like, just horrific stories and rude stuff? And there's like half a dozen guys going, wetting themselves.
Yeah, and everyone else
is going, this is really inappropriate. Yeah, I don't do that either. Nothing rude. That's good. Have you seen, just to sort of hammer it in, have you ever seen Steve Martin do his, he's giving Tom Hanks some sort of award or something, and he's doing sort of a tribute to Tom Hanks. Seen it? As the VFIs or something it's at, something like that. It is just...
funny individuals. I don't know. I just made something up on
the spot. I don't know what that is, yeah. It's beautiful watching him command the room. He is unbelievably good at doing it. He's the way he commands the room, the way he delivers everything. As I say, it's beautiful. It's like watching Zidane play football or something. When people are that good, it is absolutely amazing. And it takes forever to be that. But what you've got in your locker as a best man is you, your personality, truth, a bit of love
do something,
in there.
Exactly. Do something that only you could do.
Yeah. So it's basically you've got to do a tribute to them, the couple. People like nice things. People like stories. Work on your storytelling. Make sure the story, just go through the story a couple of times in your head, but ad lib it. Don't read it. And tell it. How you met the groom's important. I met him at school, first impressions, or I met him at college, or I met him at work. Why you like him so much. Oh, he's such a good guy because of this. There was that time that happened. How the bride met the groom, how you think they get on together, when you first met her, and why they're going to be happy, and then any other stories where you can bring anyone else in, like Mark says, the in-laws or something like that in, would be absolutely great, so people feel inclusive and part of it. And if you're looking for comedy, go self-deprecating maybe against yourself a bit, which should be quite good, but keep it lovely and nice and ad lib it as well,
and brief brevity
and what
keep
brief.
It brief.
Yeah, and breathe.
No, brief.
Yeah, and breathe.
Yeah, but I'm saying brief.
And breathe. But and breathe as well.
But you don't want to do it holding your breath.
No, yeah, breathe.
But
take a breath.
Because also there'll be, what's there, like four, there's like four speeches, isn't there, normally? Three or four speeches.
Yeah.
But you're the guy that did the short one, everyone go, oh, that was really good because it was short.
Yeah. But slow down. Don't speed it through, though. Breathe.
Breathe.
Yeah. okay, should we have some pearls of wisdom, some life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school?
Go on then.
TV Tim in the house. Life hacks, pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off.
Come on, eh?
This one comes from a listener. It comes from Gavin, who says, when in a foreign town and unsure of what to drink, always drink what the locals drink. You can never go wrong. He then sent a picture of Falcon Export beer, and I assume from the Swedish flag that that's, he's in Sweden. I don't think I've ever been in a foreign town, though, and unsure of what to drink.
No.
Generally, you
I've always got Stella and Guinness, haven't I?
You just sort of generally go, I'll have sort of water, yeah, or at dinner I might have a glass of wine. And then when I'm in a bar, I might have a lager. And then you sort of say to the barman, or a bitter or something, but you say, what sort of beer have you got? And then you just choose one. Right, okay. Mark, you have one, a life hack. What is it?
Never encourage the over-friendly person / nutter on public transport, because it quickly turns into they think they're your friend.
Encouraging in what way?
Like, if they like start talking to you, sort of just smile politely and go, yeah, and then turn back to whatever you were doing.
Oh.
Don't hold their gaze.
Why?
I saw it happen on the way over here, and I was listening to headphones, but he was cracking jokes to this group of people, like standing over them, and then you could see their faces. It was going on for about 5 minutes and their faces were slowly going uneasy, and they were thinking, why did we encourage him? This wasn't good.
Not all part of life's rich tapestry, no. Mark. No, you sure?
Yes.
I think on a...
Smile politely, nod, yeah. Laugh, and then pretend to look at your phone or look out the window.
Yeah. Continuing that, though, I think be truthful is good. And
what?
I don't...
What, like heckle him? That joke was rubbish.
Yeah. Well, I do think we're not truthful enough sometimes. So you smile, and then he starts telling a joke, and then he tells another joke, and then you're getting uncomfortable, and you say to him, hey, mate, I'm getting uncomfortable now. I kind of...
You're making me uncomfortable.
You told me a joke, and it was fine, but I don't want any more jokes now. Can I just get with my train journey?
Yeah, okay.
And I think that would... I wonder what the reaction to that would be, because we don't do it in British,
no, it'd
do
be
it.
Really funny.
As British people, we just go...
First gag, great.
I'd rather sit
you tailed
there.
Off, and I would rather look at the floor. Thanks, bye.
Your first gag, that was
it
all
was
right.
Solid. It was a 6 out of 10.
It was all right. Now you keep going. I see you've only got one form of humour. You've only got one form of gag, and they're not hitting anymore. So if you could politely just shut up and let me look at the floor.
I saw it happen the other day at a train station. There was a guy with a bike and he was sat on the bench, and this other chap sat next to him and started talking to him, and you could see his face going from really smiley and happy to this is going on a long time. So he just got up and walked his bike down the, pretending to like be ready to get on the train.
Oh, that's what people do.
And he walked away, and this guy was completely on his own. So he just looked across the platform, across the train lines, and started going, hey, hey, to these other people. He was, and he started talking to them across the thing, across the train lines.
Wouldn't it be easier just for everyone to be honest?
Yeah.
I wonder how that would react, though, if you were just honest.
Yeah, it could get awkward. You have to be polite, though. You can't go, you're making me uncomfortable. I think you're a nutter.
No. Final hack. Final hack if you're going to put suntan lotion on your face, which you should do in this.
Do you mean
in this
protective
weather. Sunscreen?
Sunscreen, yeah. It's not suntan, is it?
What did I say?
Suntan lotion. Isn't suntan lotion? Doesn't it make it better? Like make it?
I don't think so. Anyway, if you're going to put sunscreen on your face, make sure you put some on the back of your hands to stop you looking old. I read that once in a women's magazine, because your hands are age. Because they're out all the time, like your face. Because what ages you the most, Mark? The sun, fags,
booze,
all those sort of things. But the sun apparently is
time.
I think the sun is the thing which ages your skin the most. And your hands and your face and your neck are the things that are always out. So if you're going to put SPF factors or UVA factor, I don't know, what are those things? Anyway, UVA, UV something. If you want to put those on your face, put them on the back of your hands as well, because your hands will age as well. That is a fantastic pearl of wisdom. If you've got a life hack or a problem you want to email in, this is the address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
final part of today's podcast is agony aunt. I take on an agony aunt. Marcus sent me in an agony aunt problem, and I'm going to answer it. Then we read out what the agony aunt says, and we see who's won. This one comes from Just Jane. Where's Just Jane from, Mark?
The Star, I think.
The Star, okay. I'm shunned at work for being wacky, is the headline. I used to hang around with a gang of school friends, but I realised that I've been subtly dropped by each and every one of them. My last boyfriend left in early 2016, and besides a few disastrous hookup dates, I've not been able to find a decent guy to replace him. I'm in a new job where no one is interested in chatting to me, joining me for lunch, or even buying me a coffee. I admit that I can be a bit loud and outrageous. I speak as I find.
Oh, no.
Hold on. And have a wicked sense of humour.
Do you love that? You love those people, don't you? Mate, I just,
we all love those.
Mate, I just say it as I find it.
But life is for living, right? I speak as I find, I have a wicked sense of humour, but life is for living. Do you know what the one I love being on TV is the one who comes out and goes, often women, by the way, you're on telly. I don't know who you are. But you know, it doesn't stop me coming to say hello to you, does it? What'd you do? And I just think, oh, just go away, please. Just absolutely go. I've never seen you before, but I thought I'd come and say hello because all my mates watch you on telly.
I like, Are You Famous?
Are You Famous?
You never had that?
Yeah.
I've not had that, but I've had friends who have had that.
Yeah.
Excuse me, are you famous?
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Well, obviously not, because you have to ask.
Yeah, that's it. Chump. What do you do? I'm going to stand here and explain what I do to you. I always go, what do you do?
You just go really boldly, I read autocue for a living. Yeah.
Anyway, I speak because I find and have a wicked sense of humour. But life is for living, right? Why does everything have to be deadly serious and boring? Every time I say something outrageous or funny, oh God, to the girls who sit opposite me, they look at me as if I'm mad. Being sarcastic, oh God, being sarcastic is my way of breaking the ice and having a laugh. Yeah, stroke bullying. My boss is no, I always think that when you hear dressing room banter. Yeah, no, I'm bullying you.
You're being whipped with a towel.
Yeah, I'm trying to make you look stupid and me look brilliant. That's what I'm trying to do. But oh, girl, you know, got to be here to survive. You know, got a bit of thick skin around here because, you know, when we're out there, it's good. because when you're out there and you're kicking a ball around, oh, yeah, you don't really need thick skin. Right, my boss has no sense of humour whatsoever and most of the staff are scared of their own shadows. The other day, his secretary was having a bad hair day. He got caught in the rain. She got caught in the rain, looked hysterical. I quit that. She'd give Ken Dodd a run for his money and she ran off crying. That's actually made me laugh.
What, because the reference is so contemporary. Because it's
that just made me laugh. Ken,
look at you, Dame Vera Lynn.
Oh, that is brilliant. I like that one. Actually, you know, she...
Oh, you like her now, do you?
That's really amused me. Just the vision of Ken Dodd and... I like such an old school reference, isn't it? Oh, that's brilliant. I'm going to start using that. Hey, give Ken Dodd a run for his money.
Hey, look at old George Formby over there.
Later in the toilets, her mate accused me of being insensitive and unkind. What a bunch of wimps. At my old place, everyone used to slag each other off all the time. Oh, yeah, we were all laugh, we were. It was just the way we rolled. Oh, no. Here I feel lonely and isolated. My sister says I'm turning into an acquired taste. She says I need to calm down and stop acting like I'm the star of Mock the Week. But I like being snappy and feisty. Why should I have to tone down my natural sense of humour and fun just to fit in with the deadbeats around me?
Deadbeats,
yeah.
From
just,
a 1980s
you know
Australian show.
I think you sound like... You don't sound like you're a lot of fun to be around. You sound boring, and all those things you've said, like I like being sarcastic, I've got a wicked sense of humour, da da da. They're all things that just get boring after a while. They're all right for a tiny bit. I think you just need to calm it down, and you should just try and be nice. Get rid of the humour. It gets really boring, people like you, after a while, especially if you're working in the place. And even though you think you're being funny, just be nice is actually nicer. I remember I used to work with Helen Chamberlain and on Soccer M years ago, and she used to say to people, just be nice, it's nice. And I just thought that was such a great catchphrase, just be nice.
Shame you didn't listen to her advice, Tim.
Just be nice, you're being rude to me now.
Sorry, Tim.
Just be nice. Though I have got an idea for you. I think, you know, inspired by what your sister says, if you are funny and you do have a good sense of humour and you
sound hilarious
and you are brash and you are that sort of person who wants to make your voice known, get up on the stage, go to an open mic night, because I think you could be good, because you sound like you've got some good
contemporary references.
But you sound like you've got a lot of stuff inside you and you want to get it out, and it sounds like you want to be up there performing, you want to be funny, you want to be loud, you want to be, you know, you want to be a laugh. Get up there and give the open mic nights a go. You might be the new...
good advice, Tim.
Joan Rivers. She was good, wasn't she?
She might be the new Ken Dodd.
She might be the new Ken Dodd. But someone like Joan Rivers used to love getting up, and she was, let's face it, Joan Rivers was funny. She'd go up there and just hammer everything and everyone. So if that's what your forte is, give it a go. What does she say, Jane?
Jane says, your sensible sister sounds spot on. It sounds as if you're treating your new office like a comedy store. See? There we go. Yep. You're doing your turn, but no one's interested. You sound like an annoying kid's entertainer. As for your wacky sense of humour, I'd give it a rest if I were you. It sounds very annoying indeed. Has it ever crossed your mind that you might be deeply irritating and immature? It's not a case of your colleagues not getting you. Regarding your social life in general and your love life in particular, the same advice applies. Being annoying and wacky can be really draining. Why do you think all of your old school friends have deserted you and subsequent dates haven't worked out? Look at your behaviour and start making changes before you end up very lonely indeed.
Same sort of thing. Except
yeah,
I gave
you
a practical
advice there,
I gave
so
a
you're
going to
win
advice.
That one.
Am I?
Yes.
Yes!
The crowd go wild. He's knocked it out of the park. Great stuff there, Jeff.
I've actually great won stuff. One. Thank you. Fantastic stuff. That's it for this week's podcast. If you want to tweet us at Tim Lovejoy. Email us timlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us. Press the subscribe button, and you can rate us 5 out of 5 if you want to. Thank you very much for listening this week. Hopefully, we'll be back next Monday. See ya.
Bye.